Yeah.
I think the two big highlights is
they kill the big highlight. Fucking dead. Like fucking Goofy in Kingdom Hearts 3. Fucking takes the rock to the noggin and he's out.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like kind of like not paying attention. And I saw this flash like hit this kid as the rubble starts to fall into. How the fuck is that? Like I totally forgot was in here.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Did I get the yawns out? Let me get the sleepies. All right, I'm ready to go.
All right. Music plays. Hello, Koopo. Welcome to another episode of Koopo Talks with your host, Mognite, also known as Ray, and also, forever in the rotating chair, our fun bud.
Me! Andy! Yeah! Andy.
Andrew, Summer, Kurtz, as we know and love them.
Yeah, real excited here, champ.
Real excited. Yes, sir. You know me. Always excited about talking about Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yeah, so when this was first announced, I think this is going to be the main topic of this episode. But we're going to go through our generals, then we'll really get into it. But I remember... I mean, I think we've talked about it on the podcast before, how you and I are pretty big fans. Yes. So when this came out, I told Mog, it's time, we gotta do this. And then, if you realized, we were supposed to come up with a February episode, but someone lagged it.
Well, it's not me, it's my immune system, so... No, Jesus. Write them off. Uh-huh. I got sick. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe I shouldn't have licked that weird green thing I found on the floor.
Yeah, you know what? You know, here I was by myself, hanging by the telephone, waiting for the call that we're going to record this. But here we are.
This is also supposed to be our April episode, March episode, but
you know, it happened.
I'm still sick.
He's getting better.
I'm getting better. If I say it, it'll come true, right?
Yes, of course. But before we get into it, do you want to talk about how you been? How you doing? What you up to?
I've been sick.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm all right. Just recovering, work, playing through some games, you know.
Yeah. Anything of note?
Usually I don't spend like many hours on games.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been playing Fiddler's hit new, Unicorn Overlord.
Oh, man.
And I spent 20 hours on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I still I kind of know what's going on, but I don't really care for it. But sure, I do love that gameplay.
Uh-huh.
You know, as a Fire Emblem, XCOM, and general strategy fan.
Right, right.
It does feel good.
Right.
To hit the buttons and watch them fight.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel... You know, the story's whatever.
Yeah.
Imagine your basic conquest or basic rebellion plot.
Sure.
You as a royal lead.
Of course.
Trying to reclaim your throne.
Fire Emblem Junior. Well, do you think you're gonna commit? Are you gonna reach credits? Are you gonna call it?
I don't know, dude.
Yeah,
I'm like, I feel like I'm this far in, but it also feels like the finish line is far away, where it's like,
all right,
I could get there, but should I get there?
How many hours are you in?
Other things, 20, yeah. 20 hours.
20? According to website howlongtobeat.com, you are about less than halfway through it.
I figured.
Like slightly below halfway.
There are
You're almost there.
Continents, and I just beat the first one.
Maybe it's front loaded. Who knows?
He is front loaded.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's little games. Yeah. Fusion Rebel, the Hayseed Knight.
Yes.
Here and there, Helldivers 2 that came out.
Of course, the classic.
What else? I have Snufkin installed.
Snufkin.
Melody of Moomin Valley.
Oh, sure.
I know nothing about a Snufkin, but I've heard they're wonderful.
I remember, like, as a child, I watched like a recording of Snufkin and Moomin, and I was like, yeah, this is cool. And then never, I think I saw maybe like one episode as a child, and I was like, then it just kind of reappeared on Twitter like a couple years ago, and I was like, oh yeah, I know that guy. Sure.
I know that guy.
Yeah.
And I heard it's good. Good game. One day. Other than that, just chilling. How about you, kid?
I as of 3 p.m. today, our recording day, who knows when that is, I have beaten the Final Fantasy, I was about to say Final Fantasy 13, Final
Rebirth.
Fantasy 7 Rebirth.
Yes, sir.
I think I made a complete time of something like 55 hours, 60 hours ish. It is, what, an 8.5 out of 10 game with 10 out of 10 like in like interspliced into it, like 10 out of 10 scenes, because it gets a little long in the tooth. I mean, it's a little, I don't really care for the, you know, the environmental collect all these towers or
The video game part,
find all these stones. I don't care for that.
a patty.
Yeah, it's for some people. It's not for me, or at least not with someone with now limited free time. I'm not gonna do it. I'm okay. I'm fine. But there are, God, at least more than five sequences, which is more than most games will ever have. Like five, like holy goddamn, this is a 10 out of 10 game. Square Enix, you've done it again.
Just whooping, hollering.
God, yeah, exactly. There are times where I'm playing it and I will begin to like hoot and holler, and it'll like frighten my partner in like our bedroom. He's like, why are you yelling? And I was like, it's
It's
Cloud, it's
like, look,
Tifa.
honey, look.
Oh my
I feel
God.
like I had similar experiences when I played that as a young lad on
Yeah.
my PC.
Yes.
I wish I could. I wish I could play the new Final Fantasy games, but I honestly don't care about them. But I like watching people play them.
What I look, I believe I am a Tifa head. Tifa heads unite.
Heads in
I'm eating
chat.
good. I'm buffet. Tifa left and right. I'm loving it. God damn. It's a great day to be a Tifa lover. Great year for us. That's all I'll say.
Congratulations,
It's a goddamn great game. Like fucking, what's the
coming.
fucking like victory screen and fucking Melee. Like everyone's just clapping. Fucking good job, Square Enix.
Yes, coming
Yeah.
in hot on the heels of the end of Women's Month. We
Yeah,
say we love
exactly.
Tifa in this room.
Yeah, big Tifa. Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, man, this game's great. It's good. Anyway, outside of that, I'm watching a lot of Korean television, as I'm one to do. You
I
know,
love Koreans.
they sure know how to make a TV show. Besides that, yeah, I mean, in life events, I'm settling into a new gig. I'm relearning how to be in an office. But yeah, no, doing all right. Next on my list, and probably when we next check in, I will be balls deep into Dragon's Dogma 2, most likely.
Balls
So
deep, huh?
yes, reel in there.
Reel in there.
I heard it's real good, according to a good game aficionado, Austin Walker.
Knows his
But
games.
he does know his games. But yeah, no, that's me having a good time, chilling, hanging out,
Chillin'.
here with my bestie.
I'm also might be digging into Dragon's Dogma too.
Heck yeah.
As they say, Dragon's Dogma as well.
Yeah.
Also,
But yeah. What's up? No,
also
I'm kidding.
an indie game called Bingle Bingle that I'm gonna play this week. So this describes itself as a roulette builder game where you can
Ooh.
create your own roulette.
I know how much you love gambling.
I'm a gambler aficionado, you know.
Yeah.
You know my strat, all in.
Yeah, all in, baby.
And if I lose, that says God will tell me, hey, you got to back off. I'm like, okay. If they wanted me to win, they'd win.
Exactly. But yeah, having a good time. I might check out, actually, between Dragon's Dogma, I might check out that game you sent me on Discord. Felvic? Felvedeck? Felvedeck.
It's not Slavic. It's...
It is Slavic. Well, the Slavic Republic.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's never been a better time to play weird ass games.
I was gonna say, there's never been a better time to be Slavian. But yeah, good times.
Good times.
Eating good, living life.
Now, without further ado.
Let's get to the mean potatoes.
Where's our docket? You see, we're very professional.
Yeah, at least we have a docket. It says episode, and its episode is misspelled. So I think that's where we start.
Episode.
All right.
Let's go. Let's hit it. Hit it right on.
All right.
Some backstory. I like Avatar. I like Korra. How about you?
I like both of those things very much.
All right, in 2024, they release a live-action series.
I do want to preface, like, when I first saw it, the trailers.
Yeah, it's like last year, like end of last year.
Yeah, and I was like, cautiously optimistic. And then I saw the live-action One Piece. And I'm like, heck, maybe Netflix can do this right. And then I saw the rest of the trailers. And my faith slowly began to slip from my fingers. And I became more and more pessimistic. And I was right. Oh, man, buddy. Okay, all right. What did you think? How's the first episode?
Not promising.
Not promising. Not good.
Not promising.
Here's
the thing with me. Like, I try not to go into shows. Being a hater.
Yeah.
But one, if it's one of my beloved series that I really, like, really shaped me as, like, you know, a person.
Yeah.
And then when you do a live action person, like, you also have to talk about, you know, the idea of making a live action series.
Sure.
Like, that's a quote-unquote remake.
Yeah.
I'm like, who is this for? Right?
Right. And
generally, the answer is never for the people who watch the original, I feel. It's like for like the newer people, right?
I don't know about that.
Normies, right?
I have anecdotal evidence that doesn't necessarily mean that's the right course of action. Because Avatar, well-respected series, well-loved, came out in our very formative years. You know, we were kids, right? When it came out, what, 2004?
I feel like that, yeah.
2004? I think 2005. I was a little off. When most people say, like, we're going to make a live-action remake, right? It's like, it's for an adult audience, right? For people that don't like to watch cartoons. I would say that is underestimating how good The Last Airbender series is. Because way back... In the year of our Lord 2017, I was home for Thanksgiving break, and my parents wanted to watch something. My parents are, you know, they don't watch a lot of cartoons, generally speaking.
Yeah.
They watch a lot of, you know, drama TV shows, a lot of cop shows, stuff like that, detective shows. But I let them watch Avatar: The Last Airbender, and we watched together. As a family, my adult father, a fisherman and a hunter, was like, damn, this Aang kid slaps. I may be paraphrasing here. But I think that there was... I think they were misunderstanding how just good the source material is. You didn't need... It was one of the few things where I don't think this needed to be made like this. Or at least they came at it with the wrong intentions.
Like the live action, right?
Yeah.
Yes, because you know, just talk about the first episode. Like I was talking to you about it
a
bit ago, where like they tried to cram so much, and the pacing was just like go go go. It's like Mm-hmm. You got to keep going from A to B to C without like no breaks in between.
Which is odd for me at least, because like, because if you look at time, right? The Avatar TV, the animated series is a 24-minute, you know, animation thing. But the Netflix is what, borderline an hour, right?
Yeah, it's an hour, basically an hour.
Hour-ish, right?
Yeah, it's more like a 50 minutes.
I mean, it's saying here fucking 47 to 63. Which means you're not actually losing that much foot. What's the word here I'm looking for? Not footage, but like, timeline, right? Like pacing, or over you were working with roughly the same amount of runtime, right? Give or take what, like 10-15%. I felt even from the first episode, like they were rushing, and at the same time were covering less than what the animated series like starts out with, especially that first season. There are whole arcs that are not talked about, or like episodes, and like I think you get a very incomplete kind of telling of what the animated series kind of sets out to be. But that first episode's rough. It's real rough, man.
Yeah, I think there's like just speaking of the episode. Because like I'm also been trying not to compare it to the animated series.
I think you have to. When you look at
that, I think I'm trying critically to separate it, but eventually it does have to go back because that is the source material, right?
Yeah.
But even without like, you know, referring to the original source material, like doing compare and contrast, like it doesn't feel fun to watch.
No.
Yeah, and it's like the pacing, or it's like it felt like everything was like said, rather than
it,
like
it was a bad first like,
implications
step
or everything
that kind of led into kind of a. I felt like, It opens, you see Aang, you get a little more fleshed out backstory with like the Air Nomads, right?
Yeah.
You get some really early. Firebender, like a Fire Lord stuff, and I think the crux is the first episode, right? It's the crux of the first episode, or is it the second episode, where the big event happens?
I think it's still the first episode. Second episode, spoilers: you go to Kyoshi Island.
Right. I felt like they were so raring to get to the Firebender attack on the Southern Air Temple that it just kind of felt kind of gross. I think
I was watching a genocide,
like it felt like almost like the direction kind of relished it, where it should have been a kind of framed, like, okay,
yeah, I think I, it's I like
I'm trying to set apart like visual tone versus directorial intent, right? Like the mood of it is obviously it's very tragic, but like the way that it's paced, it feels very like almost like exploitative. Like, ooh, look how much the airbender's dying, isn't it so sad? It's like trying to garner that, but like it is
The way the animated series went about it, right? It's like you see a lot of Aang's happy and kid side, and like his you know, his ability to, no matter the situation, to have like fun where he's at and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But then it like gets juxtaposed
mm-hmm.
by like the reality and the truth,
right?
But and in the beginning, you never get to experience that in the animated series. But like in this, they didn't have that luxury, or like they didn't want to do that style of, I don't know, it's like that kind of like focus. Because I think it's more like a like timeline kind of deal, where it's like they're going through the timeline rather than like doing it through a flashback.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I think this is a way to do it. And I don't think it's that effective.
Yeah, it definitely takes away, or it doesn't take away, it definitely lacks, I don't know, kind of that like emotional punch when you show it, especially because, I mean, Avatar has a lot of, it pulls a lot from like Wuxia films, like, you know, like people jumping around doing, you know, somersaults and stuff.
Yeah.
And kind of seeing that, I feel like almost like cheapens it in a way. Like visually,
I will also have to say the bending isn't that good.
No, yeah, no, sorry, yeah, we should have started that. Yeah, it doesn't look
like that good. The action bending isn't really that good.
There's a lack of, I don't know, like it's weight good. Behind it a lot. Yeah, like
weight and impact.
Especially, know, I think they do my boy's earth bending pretty dirty. I think.
Yeah, it's again, earth bending is like least, the worst.
Yeah, it's easily the worst looking.
You know, they I think like it felt like they tried, but they never got the masters who made it like really impactful for the animated series, right?
Yeah,
they got, like actual like martial arts experts and like people who are good at that art.
Yeah.
And then here I feel like they referenced it, but they didn't really understand.
There's a way of translating movement that, you know, just generally you have just so much more freedom in animation. Yeah, because it's not real people. But like, again, you're so used to this preconceived notion of how it looks, especially like how it feels when people bend, and like the kind of how bending in the animated series is so much more, not aggressive, but people have more range of power, where it feels a little flaccid in the live action. Like people aren't able to do as much.
Yeah, I think there's a way, but it can be better, because, you know, it's like watching kung fu films.
Mm-hmm.
You do really feel like that impact.
Yeah,
like, you know, watching it a John Wick, watching
like thing.
Watching a, you know, other kung fu. Yeah. I don't feel. I like bending. Okay.
Yeah,
I like you know, the idea of like the Nkora, the was it the 3v3 pro bending arena,
right?
I think there's a way to do it.
Yeah,
but it's not here.
Hey, but so I have written here my notes. I wrote 2 out of 10. Oh God,
nerd.
I just think this episode, you know. It goes through the massacre, you know, Sokka and Katara, they find him, you know, Zuko shows up for the first time at the village, and...
Can I also add about Sokka?
Oh, yeah, Sokka.
Sokka, in the beginning of the anime series, he's like a jerk, but he's kind of funny. But he shows it in his body emotion, and then in here...
He's not funny in this one.
It's not funny.
He's not funny at all.
So it's like, now he's just a jerk.
Yeah, and he's kind of... I don't know, they so... Katara kind of, also to this point, like, Katara's not as, like, feisty.
Yeah, I think, yeah, so he's like, not like, willing to banter.
Yeah, Sokka, more so than Aang, Sokka is your comedic relief. He is the levity in a lot of situations. And this guy's just, I mean, the actor's fine, but they did not feed him good lines. Like, Sokka's got jokes. Like, he's good. But this one is like, he's kind of more generic, shonen, like, you know, guy.
And it, yeah, I think like everyone's like so stuck to the role, especially in the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, it doesn't feel, you know, that dynamic.
Yeah,
like, you know, you have like Aang, who kind of like immediately is this like,
what a killjoy. Yeah,
like, he's so serious. Or it's like I have a responsibility to do. And then Katara's like, you know, I want to get out of here.
Yeah,
essentially. And then Sokka's like, I don't necessarily want to get out of here, but I have to protect my sister.
Yeah.
But also, I'm going to be angry about it.
Yeah.
I'll be gradually coming along on his journey. And then I'll learn to love it, but not in the first episode.
Yeah, it's not a good first step. Especially the intro drop feels real bad.
Oh, and they're saying the...
Yeah, when Grand is looking at the thing, it was like, oh, God, no. I bet someone thought they were real clever when they wrote that.
The writer's room.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, yo.
No, and it just felt bad. Anyway, that's the first episode.
I think out of all 8 episodes, I think the first one is the worst one.
Yes, I would agree. It is. It's a bad step forward. I get that. You can write good first episodes. I've seen them.
It's a good first episode. It's right there. I see one right there.
Yeah, I see it right there. And this wasn't great. Yeah, it was a step in the wrong direction. It does, I will say, somewhat course corrects towards the end. But yeah, not a great opening episode.
Opening act.
All right, we're on to episode 2, Warriors.
I feel that's the second worst episode of
it is.
Out of the 8.
I wrote this as a 4 out of 10. Better, but not good.
So, like, the big beat of Warriors is that they go to Kyoshi Island.
Mm-hmm.
Then Aang learns more of his avatar powers through Kyoshi.
Sure.
And then, like, bad things happen. And then Aang is the first time Aang gets to save the day in a way.
Yeah.
But realizes the truth of his mission.
Mm-hmm. Or like
kind of like the gravity of the situation.
Yeah. They're there. Aang steals Zuko's fucking fan book, which is very funny. They show up. They meet Zhao, who's not as sneering. I got beef with Zhao. You never see the... In the rest of the episodes, you don't see the Agni Kai. Kind of bullshit.
Oh, like the actual Agni Kai?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, man, they only got 8 episodes.
Yeah,
they only got 8 hours.
I don't know, man. You could have put the Agni Kai in there. Come on. That's one of the best scenes. That's where Zuko learns to do the fucking flip. He fucking breakdances. It's great. It's a good scene. What a waste. Anyway, whatever. You meet Zhao. They're like, we need to go to Kyoshi Island. You meet Suki. Suki's not great. I really want to preface this. It's not the actor's fault. I'm really not.
Yeah, it's not the actor's fault.
They're doing their goddamn best. They're all trying.
Some of them are like really some trying hard.
It's my main beef is the writer's room. It's the writer's room and the directorial decisions. Because, you know, the actors are doing the goddamn best here. Anyway, Suki, they do the classic. Okay, that's the other thing, right? Sokka doesn't hate women. Like the animated series, he does. Or at least, you know, belittles women. Specifically, yeah,
it's
sister.
Like it's more like a general social thing.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't think girls should be on the battlefield.
Yeah, or women are not as strong as warriors as men. You don't really get that. I think it's important to show people changing for the better rather than to be kind of neutral and not really get it. Like, make no progress. Right? It's better to make positive progress than no progress, right? Even if the person starts out in not the best place. And I would say over the course of the series of Avatar in general, Sokka's like emotional arc and like maturing arc is only second to Zuko's, I would say. So Sokka hangs out with Suki. They do the thing. Suki, for some reason, finds Sokka attractive. For reasons unknown to me or the audience.
Weird ass jerk boy.
And then the big fight breaks out where the Fire Nation attacks Kyoshi Island and Aang does the Avatar State, which is pretty cool. Kyoshi's very tall. I was hooting for that. I'll give him that. Kyoshi's very big in this one. Very big. Very,
very
big.
Very big.
She's very big. And yeah, then they fuck up Zhao and Zuko.
I feel like they did kind of get Kyoshi right, or he's kind of like always been known as like this ruthless avatar.
Yeah, kind of like a hard ass. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like she wants the best for her people, but
yes,
she's willing to murder and kill.
Yeah, sure. And that's pretty good to what Kyoshi is. Kyoshi is the one that tells Aang, is like, Aang, you gotta kill these people. And Aang is like, dang,
I really gotta go.
Yeah. And Kyoshi's great. It's the Suki's and the long-term Sokka thing that really just bothers me in this episode.
Yeah, like my absolute low light for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the training scene with just Suki and Sokka. Mm-hmm. And then the kissing scene.
Yeah.
Kissing between me, you want to throw up.
It's not great. I think this also the start of the better part of this whole show. I think we'll kind of get on this later. Is you really start seeing the Fire Nation scenes, right? Yeah. Zuko and Iroh hanging out at like Fire Nation bases, talking about finding him. I think the production here really shines. I really look forward to these parts of this series.
Like I was gonna like save it to the end, but the highlight of this entire Netflix first season, whatever, it's just the Zuko and the Iroh scenes.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I mean, it's like, well, sorry, it starts here. Me whooping and hollering.
Yes, yeah. Yes. It starts here. They, you know, you see like Zuko is trying to plan this out. There's a lot of political scheming. You know, Zhao is kind of not quite helping, but also, you know, is following chain of command. He's bound to help, but, you know, has his own reasons to.
He has his own motivations.
Anyway. Yeah, it's good. I like it. Besides that, it's a relatively middling episode. It's a step in a better direction. I kind of do wish that anything. This kind of where it starts, right? The Appa and Momo thing, where you don't really see them a lot, really.
And yeah, they kind of feel like irrelevant.
Yeah, and I think probably because of CG budget, you don't see. What is it called? It's not the alligator koi. It's the in the original series, Aang shows up to Kyoshi Island to.
Like ride on the animals or something.
Yeah, it's a ride on like a big eel, right, or something like that.
Yeah,
yeah. Which would have been a great kind of set piece, but whatever. Sure. If losing that was what allowed us to get more Iroh and Zuko, even if it wasn't, I'm gonna look at it that way because again, the better parts of these episodes is that. But yeah, no, it's fine. Any other notes for Warriors?
I think that's it.
Yeah.
I hate the kissing scene.
Yep. I wrote, why is Suki like this? And Sokka needs to get his ass kicked.
Yes. Sokka never is.
Yeah. Anyway. Next episode. Umashu. Oh, boy. This is...
I think for me, the general bit of it is Omashi was kind of confusing.
Yes.
And like weird.
but here, I think this is maybe a question for someone that has only watched the live action, right? Yeah. Because I think because you and I are watching this, like, hey, is this also Jet and also Northern Air Temple at the same time? And like trying to piece together in your head. I want to know what watching this was like to someone that hasn't seen any of it. Mm-hmm. And is taking the premise of these, like, what, two episodes? Like, at face value, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is not confusing to have these different kind of lines going on at once. Because, I mean, it's... Aang has a storyline with Bumi. Then Katara has her storyline with Jet.
And
Sokka has his storyline with the engineer, the inventor guy. And I don't know if they really gel that well. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like the conversion point between like the Mechanist and the they're not Separatists. the Rebel group or the
cult. Yeah,
like it was so lame, dude.
Yeah. Freedom Fighters, I think is the
Freedom Fighters, there you go. But yeah, having those like basically those three plot lines.
Uh-huh.
I don't think they executed it well.
Yeah. My early beef with this episode is when they enter, when they're attempting to enter Omashu, right?
Yeah.
They get the disguises. And one of my favorite Aang gags is Aang turns into Old Man Aang. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
That gag? And they don't do it. And I'm like, it's a great way to show Aang's levity. Because he is. Like, he's not in this. But yeah. Like, it's a good gag. It's funny. Like, why not?
I think in the joke department overall, the fuel tank for jokes is fairly empty.
Fairly low.
It's just fun. You know, they did bring back the cabbage seller.
That felt unearned, in my opinion. Like, if you're not gonna do the fucking old man bit, why do the cabbage bit? Because it's a meme. Okay, sure, whatever.
Yeah. I also heard that they got the voice actor, like the real voice actor who did that part.
Good.
That was him.
Sure. Great. Fantastic. But still, like.
Yeah, but it didn't feel earned. I definitely agree with you.
It's like
this weird callback. And it's like, if I have no real collection or no like connection to it, or like it's this weird bit that happens three times, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. It feels unearned. I can sympathize with the writing crew of like, if you didn't put it in, I think people would be madder than kind of this, you know, this kind of flaccid attempt at this like old joke. Whatever, it's fine. So they get into Omashu. They're talking about, you know, the rebellion within the city. That, you know, there's been bombings. That's cool. That's neat. He notices Aang notices someone flying around Omashu, which is wild for me when I first saw it, because I was like, what the heck is going on here?
I honestly was like, sometimes I, you know, watch this episode and do something else. Mm-hmm. It's like Aang's talking about someone flying. I was like, no, there's not. I was like, looking very closely at my screen. I was like, where is he? I don't really see him. Why is it so tiny?
Yeah. Terrorism is happening in the city. Zuko and Iroh attempt to break into Omashu, and then Katara just has her thing, right? It's like a watered down version of the Jet episode. I don't know. It just lacks so much bite, I guess. I don't know. Because also, Jet doesn't feel as cool as he used to be.
Yeah, he's handsome for sure.
Sure.
But he doesn't have like a charm to him, I think. I don't know. But he doesn't feel as cool.
Yeah.
They should have given him that hay thing that he always
He gets it like towards the end. Like at the very last. He doesn't have it in the beginning. He does get it though.
Maybe he should get a cigarette.
Yeah, I don't know. What was to have in my notes here? Jed is very much on board with killing a disabled kid. He's very much willing to kill Taylor. It's very messed up.
No, they've been like hurting people all this time.
Yeah, they're much more willing to.
Spoilers, they're the bad guys.
They're the baddies, yes.
They've been bombing the city.
If I remember like correctly, like I think what gives Jed a bite is because like in the original source material, they really believe that Jed is a good person, right? That he's doing the right thing, he's fighting the Fire Nation, and it's the last minute twist that JK, it's not that he's been the baddie the whole time, is that he's willing to make that final decision that hey, we're gonna blow up the dam, it might kill some people, whatever. But like from the get go, he tells Katara, "We've been doing terrorism this entire time," and it's like, oh. That's less cool. Yeah.
It's like they make a big deal out of it, like the bombing, where it's like a lot of people are being hurt.
Yeah.
And like you see like actual like blood.
So it garners less sympathy for Jet rather than being like this tragic, like, you know, anti-hero. Whereas like, oh no, you're kind of doing this bad. Anyway, yeah, Jet's not great. Not good. Yeah, and then there's the Boomy stuff, which I'm not a fan of.
Yeah, I feel like the... I don't know. I don't think all these like three storylines were very good.
It's not great. Is it the next episode? It's the next episode. They do. They mix in the Secret Tunnel stuff. It just... Again, not a good... I don't know. It's not I get the idea.
Yeah, it's like, right? I think they just fumbled the execution so hard.
Yeah, I think if you could have done two of them, like two storylines, pick whatever one, I could see that of working better than doing all three at the same time.
Yeah. It's like when you put them all three together, it's kind of confusing.
Yeah.
Especially the Boomy stuff. Right? I felt like the Boomy stuff in here was like, you know, very like belittling to Aang. Yes. And like it's nothing but anger every single time those two are like on the screen together.
Yeah, not a big fan of Boomy. I mean, I get it, but like, ugh.
Like Boomy was like more manic in the animated.
Yeah.
And that's what made him fun.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I'm not saying schizophrenia is fun, but he was you know, a character.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, there's some Izuku and Iroh stuff. They don't really do much. I think that's kind of how the episode ends. It's mostly a lot of setup.
And it's deleting.
Yeah, and then anything really happening. I don't know, do you want to move on?
Into the dark.
Also kind of sucks because they're like cutting, like, again, it feels unearned because they're cutting in Secret Tunnel episode, which I think is the second season, into this.
Right? I don't think it was, I think it was the first season.
Let me fact check here.
But,
Cave of Two Lovers is season 2, episode 2.
Oh yeah, I remember now. They have to go back to Omashu.
Yes,
right. And then they have to find a way. Yeah, because at the end they get captured. But here they use it as an excuse to try to get Aang out.
Yeah, just there's a secret path beneath the mountain. Go have fun. And it's like, one. Okay, you're really. I am interested to see how they are going to build the Aang-Katara romance. Because Secret Tunnel is like kind of that first hit of like them like really riding into it.
Yeah,
and you already did it.
The tale of Secret Tunnel.
Yeah, what are you going to do now? Secret Tunnel.
That was like really weird because, you know, like I vaguely remember it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like Sokka and... Sokka never originally goes, right?
You know, he is, but he's...
Oh, he's like separated, right?
He's separated. He's with Appa and the musicians.
Yeah.
And the guitar are separate, yes.
Separate. And it's like just seeing Sokka and Katara together. It's like talking about, oh, you know, the two lovers. And it's like love and whatever. And I was like, is it going, don't go this way. And I was like, did it go this way? And I was like, all right, thank you. But I think it's so lame because like he was like basically telling the Badger Moles, like, help us go here. And it's like, Badger Moles, like, okay.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's again, it feels the Secret Tunnel, very beloved by all. The song is great. It feels like the song itself is fine. It feels really unearned. Because it just feels
Is that kind of like a name drop? It's like,
yeah.
Hey kids, remember this?
Also, I think they cut like lines out of the song. I think it's a shorter version, which blows.
No, I think it is a shorter version, and as the episode went on, you know, more and more of the stuff goes.
I don't know, man. It kind of lame.
They did Secret Tunnel so dirty.
They did. They did it so dirty, dude.
And then for what? Just like them bursting into Bumi and Aang's fight.
Yeah.
Also, it's so lame. The quote unquote lesson they use to teach Aang. Where it's like, you have to drop the rock on me, Aang. You have to make these decisions. It's like, no, I help my friends.
Yeah.
To say, I was like, oh. Avatar, yeah. You must make decisions.
Yeah, it's. I mean, because what the original lessons are like, is essentially to Aang is like, things are not what they seem. Be creative about problem solving.
It's like, you know, the one I remember is like, he was like basically stuck in like this mineral gem thing.
Uh-huh.
And like the more he struggled, the more it grew.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like secretly rock candy.
You just eat it.
And then Into the Dark, they bring back the rock candy stuff.
It looks bad, I want to say.
And it's like, they just name drop it right away. And it's like, you know, Aang, this is rock candy.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know, man. Why do it this way?
Like, if anything, like the two Omashu episodes, which are this and Omashu, it's just lame.
Yeah, it's not great. They save Aang. Bumi's really pissed about it that he's been gone. He fucking loses, right? Like, anyway, we'll get to that.
Match.
I don't know.
But with two bad episodes comes the better ones.
Oh, there is the scene where you do see Lu Ten's funeral in this episode.
Oh, yeah. Which there is you go. There you go.
Pretty good.
You know, the Zuko Iroh stuff.
Great.
Great. Jeff's kiss. I come here for this.
Yes, fucking guys, like, you don't know loss. Then fucking flashback Iroh at his fucking son's funeral.
Yeah, dude. you get introduced to him as, like, the Dragon of the West, and he's like,
oh, fuck, such a great name.
And then, you know, it's like, you find out the reason why he, quote-unquote, defected. When
got soft, know. Yeah.
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 It's like, you know, his son died.
Yeah.
But like that first inkling of like Iroh actually first, like, you understand that he has a lot of like power.
Yes.
And he's two, not like he's it. Yeah, and two is like he's just holding back all this time.
All the time. Yeah. Is this, I'm misremembering, does he actually use the tenfold bind here? Or is it in another episode? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think I vaguely do.
It's the whatever you do to Zuko, I will do unto you tenfold. Great fucking Iron Lord, by the way.
He pulls that off. He pulls that.
Is that later?
Like in the last episode with the spirit.
Yeah. That's where he does it. That's where you're right. That's what I'm thinking of. Because I think in the animated series, it does that a lot earlier, right?
I feel like he does something similar.
I think it's. It's post Agni Kai, and Zhao tries to do the fucking cheap hit or something. Anyway, or something like that. Anyway, yeah, great. Fucking Iroh Zuko, fucking chef's kiss. Great, fantastic. I think that's. Do I have any other notes written for this? Let's see here. That guard that like shit talks Iroh gets a lot of screen time. Gets like two, three minutes. For a random side character, it's kind of wild. And I was like, wow, you decided to put time onto this and not write the episodes better? Give them more flesh, but sure, I guess, whatever. Anyway, they stopped the terrorism. Bumi's chill now. and then they leave Omashu, right? And I think that's it.
Yeah.
I think
that's Omashu episode. Prepares for defenses, and then they leave Omashu.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, and then they do play Leaves from the Vine, which fucking rips.
Oh, yeah, it's like you hear rip. It, and it's like at the funeral, or like yeah. As they leave, it's like...
Yeah.
Oh.
Fucking goddamn. Yeah. And that's Into the Dark.
Into the Dark. We leave Omashu for the better stuff, I think.
I don't like this one, but it does get better from here.
All right, here's mine. So yeah. It's next episode is Spirited Away.
Uh-huh.
They go to village and like things are amiss.
Mm-hmm.
But not physically, but spiritually. Mm-hmm. Whoa. I don't think they did the spirit world stuff very well either.
Nah. They see Wang Shitong like in the beginning. It's like, fuck, holy shit, it's Wang Shitong. And he just fucking leaves. It's like, oh, okay. See you next season, I guess.
See you later.
Yeah.
He's the owl, right?
Yeah, that's the big owl. Yeah. Fucking cool-ass owl. Yeah, just, like, shows up.
The next time you see him, it's, like, in the anime series, the library, right?
Yeah, you see him in the library, yeah. Yeah, I think then Iroh and Zuko look for the bounty hunter. June.
Yeah, the bounty hunter comes.
June, hooping and hollering. Good shit. Yes, queen. Let's go.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Fucking.
You want her to call you cute, huh?
Oh,
what if you should be an old man?
Oh, one day. Yeah, hooting and hollering. I think isn't last episode you see Azula? It's fine. I guess.
I think, yeah, it's like the, because Azula learns the Avatar's alive or something.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I guess Daniel Day-Kim as far as Ozai, perfectly fine. He plays it well. My gripe with Azula, which you don't really see her very much, I don't think, for the rest of this, she doesn't have that edge, I don't think. She's not... I don't know,
when I think of Azula, especially like in the beginning, he's like, he kind of has like this ruthless vibe to her.
Yeah, it's like this, her voice to me in my head always has this like deviousness, like something very untrustworthy in how she speaks. Like you know what she's telling you is not necessarily the truth, that she has something behind, right? Like she's hiding something. But you see her, she's fine. You see the Yu Yang archers. Because they is this where they steal Aang from him? They steal because Zuko has Aang, and then Zhao comes up with the archers. And he's like, you gotta give us the Avatar or else you'll fucking die.
Masks.
Yeah.
Are you talking about masks now?
No, it says here. I'm reading the synopsis.
Hold on.
Of Spirited Away?
Because I thought in Spirited Away,
the last thing that
happens is that he sees Ko. Then he's trying to...
I'm reading the synopsis right here. Anyway, whatever.
I don't know what you're reading.
I'm reading the Wikipedia article, fucking...
Okay. Because he gives them the Yugen archers, but he doesn't actually use them yet.
He doesn't use them yet, no.
Yeah.
Anyway, they do the Spirit World stuff. They have some flashbacks. Fine. I guess. I don't know. I kind of wish they did... Ko's fine. Yeah, that's it. You see Gyatso again, that's pretty fucked up.
I think the big thing is just him Aang getting talked to Gyatso again.
Yeah.
Gyatso, are you here? Yeah. Does that mean you still have a spiritual connection to this world? It's like, I don't want to leave.
I'm
hanging out with these spirits.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's not a. I honestly want to pay very big attention to this episode.
Mm-hmm. It's not bad. It's not great. Anyway, yeah. You want to move on? I don't have much to say. Also,
you have to move on. Otherwise, this episode could go on for too
masks. Long. We're here, baby. Let's go, Blue Spirit. Very excited. Yeah.
One of the better episodes. A cooler episode, I think.
Yes. One of the better episodes, yes. Well, granted, Blue Spirit is one of the high bars of season one. I think it's well done. It's well choreographed. There's a lot of fun movement. There's a lot of fun fighting in this. You get the backstory of the 41st Division, which I think is very good. This is a good addition. Whoever's writing the Fire Nation stuff, you did great. You were the true MVP holding up this show. So we got masks. It's Zuko breaks into the fortress, right? Is that after? What am I looking at here?
I think you learn the backstory of the 41st.
Yep. Yep.
It's also the short version of the Agni Kai.
Bozai's Agni Kai. Yeah.
Then Aang flies all the way to Crescent Island on his wing glider.
Yeah.
This is so crazy.
If he can cover that much distance in one day, why is it taking them so long to get to the north? That's far. Anyway, whatever. He gets the Roku has the MacGuffin to save his friends. There's that one cool fire sage guy who's based.
And then he gets captured by Neela and and so on and so on.
Yeah, the Lieutenant G does the big bad. He may be a prince, but he's not our prince, which fucking good line. Good line.
Good line.
Yeah.
Lieutenant G. Like a sleeper hit.
Sleeper hit, yeah.
I grew to like him.
Yes. Great addition. Because you see, he's never named in the animated series, is he? Like, the character exists.
Yeah.
But outside of like kind of like one-liners like responses, but they take him. Yeah, he gets captured. Aang gets captured. They go to the stronghold, and then fucking Blue Spirit shows up.
Here comes up.
Yeah. So yeah, there's the break-in. They break out. They escape. The mask thing happens. Coolest stuff. Aang helps him hide. And does he say the line here? I don't remember. Does he say, like, do you think we would have been friends?
Yeah, he says it.
Yeah, he says it.
When they're together.
Yeah. And then Zuko leaves, and then Zuko returns. Yeah.
The crew loves him.
Yeah, and they're like, our prince has returned.
Yeah. It turns out he saved us from a suicide mission.
Heck yeah. Yeah, that's great. That's good stuff.
Good stuff.
Let's just see it.
I think out of every episode, I think Mask is my favorite. My top
tier one. Yeah, yeah. I have this written in my notes as well. This is probably the best episode. And then we get to the finale, right?
The finale. The North, once he gets there and stuff.
Yep.
And Legends of what's the final stand happens.
Yes.
And, I recently finished this, 6 hours ago, and watching these episodes.
Yes.
And let me tell you.
All right, walk me through it, because I watched this, 3 weeks ago.
It's okay. the big thing is, I think they're trying to think that Zuko died or something, or they just want him away. Iroh wants him away.
Yeah.
So then Iroh hangs out with the what's his face? Admiral Zhao.
Yeah. Yeah.
Things out with Admiral Zhao.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it basically explaining, like, the battle strategy to the audience.
Sure. Yeah.
But, like, Aang and friends arrive at Northern Water Tribe with Chief Arnuk and their daughter Yue.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like, they understand there's the war coming in, and then, mm-hmm. you know, Sokka hangs out with Princess Yue, and then, you know, reveals his stuff. Avatar Kuruk.
He shows up?
Avatar Kuruk?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, he shows up.
He's there. Doesn't do and much, but he's there.
Doesn't do much, and he's like, mm-hmm. Aang, you have to kill these guys. You have to go at it alone.
Yeah.
Look at me. I am scarred because I went at it alone.
Yeah.
But it's for, and I lost my boo.
Yeah.
They also have like these scenes with Azula where it like becomes increasingly unhinged, and like I guess because like the character, her actor doesn't really show it enough. Like they just have Azula just beating up people.
Yeah.
And yeah. Zhao and Iroh press out the water type, and then she goes disguised as a guard.
Yeah, yeah.
To sneak in or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
As it's just the
narrative
leading into thing.
Yeah.
Also, waterbending Paku won't teach Katara how to
you know,
fight.
Whatever, it's fine.
Tradition, social, whatever.
Yeah.
Also. Because I kind of skimmed through the last 10 minutes because it was boring.
Sure, as one does.
Do they ever reveal that Gran is...
No.
Paku's...
Nope. Also, I don't know if you ever noticed, Katara's necklace is the wrong color.
Yeah, it's like more like icy.
It's white. It's white. And it should be blue. Which I get, you know, some production details can be different, but like why... Why purposely change that? I want to know. Like, what was the reason?
You know, prop masters. I don't know. There's a lot of weird stuff happening.
It's a plastic molding. What? I don't understand. Would it have been more expensive to have made it blue? Like, I don't get it.
You're out of the blue dye, dude. They need to paint the
ice somehow. Like, whatever. I guess. Yeah, it's fine. It's a setup episode. You know, that they're going to come. They're going to show up.
You know, calm before the storm.
I got no real beef with it. It's fine. Again, I don't like how Azula's portrayed. I want more, I don't know, kind of pissy, kind of better than thou, kind of regality, fucking, she doesn't have that, like, superiority complex that Azula is kind of known for, and it's kind of like her downfall.
Yeah, I think like in the series, they're not gonna portray her kind of like as a brat, but you know, she understands that she's technically second to Zuko.
Yeah,
and she like she's more angry about it rather than and like conniving about it. And also the other thing we haven't talked about is that there's also Ty Lee and Mei that also
are here. I don't know.
And they're like kind of like the quote unquote foils / emotional interrupts for Azula, but I think they're also kind of lame.
I don't think they're used very well, especially like you don't even get like the fucking like the recruitment like little montage that's like kind of fun, right?
Yeah.
Like you know
backstory.
You don't see Azula picking up Ty Lee from the circus. You don't even get like Mei's like little mini arc with like her family.
They just kind of like show up.
Yeah, I don't understand why have them show up this early for them to do nothing, right?
Yeah.
Like I don't even think like as an audience member, if they didn't show up, I wouldn't have. It would have made more sense if they didn't show up. Like why? If you're not gonna use them, why have them?
Exactly.
Whatever. Especially because like Mei isn't supposed to show up until like how's Mei's arc gonna make sense if the reason Mei joins is because of the Omashu takeover, fucking New Ozai or whatever is the town called, but she's like already part of the team, So
yeah. How are you gonna kind of like make some like seem like childhood friends or whatever?
I mean, they are, but like I don't know, like the motivation's weird. I didn't bring them up for a reason because they're not that interesting. They're used as characters; they're not used well. So I kind of just, I rather just
believe
they're not there.
Delete them away. Get out of here.
Also May needs to be more deadpan. It's not the actress's fault. They should have like, hey, you should really got to dig in. You got to get real apathetic with it.
Really don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, whatever. It's fine. Anyway, that's the North. It's a setup episode.
And then here comes the finale, Legends.
Yeah.
Yay.
Wait, does Sokka's dad's friend ever show up? No,
I don't feel like he did.
Because he's supposed to show up by now, right?
Yeah, because I think, like...
Bato?
When they first show up...
Mm-hmm.
Wait, isn't his dad also in the North Pole?
No, he's on Boiling Rock.
Oh, that's right. He's on Boiling Rock. But yeah, like he's supposed to like show up with like the fishermen or whatever. Or like
the girl. He's supposed to see Bato at least.
Yeah, just like, where's dad? I was like, yeah, he's in prison.
Yeah.
But that never happens.
No, just doesn't show up.
You know, his dad's not important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the implication that Sokka's dad, or like Sokka and Katara's dad, is just dead.
Yeah.
I guess. If they're not in the North.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Hey, let's keep going. Let's finish this.
Finish this, or else near the end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could say the synopsis for this.
Go for it, please.
It's easy. It's like I can say it in two sentences. The fight happens.
Moon dead.
And Aang goes crazy and Moon dies.
Yeah.
And everything is resolved. And a lot of people are dead. And it turns out, you know, this is just the distraction for Umashu.
Fine. Sure. It's fine. They do the black and white pretty cool. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, that's weird stuff.
It's ending better than it started, which, you know, good on it.
Yay, improvement.
I don't know. The moon fight happens. He gets big fish. It's like, wow, that's real messed up that he can do that. And then, Aang destroys a bunch of ships. And then they're like, yeah, you really need to learn the rest of the elements. And he's like, yeah, I probably should.
Oh, you should.
And then it ends.
They're like, let's go back to Omashu. And then it's like the dramatic irony of like, Omashu's captured. Whoa.
Yeah. I think
the two big highlights
They kill Momo.
Yeah, they kill Momo. It's the big highlight.
Momo's fucking dead. Like, fucking Goofy in Kingdom Hearts 2. Fucking takes the rock to the noggin and he's out.
Yeah, I was, like, kind of, like, not paying attention. And I saw this flash, like, hit this kid as the rubble starts to fall into. How quick is that? Like, I totally forgot Momo was in here.
Yeah, you barely see him. Oh, my God. It's so funny. It's so funny they kill Momo like they kill Goofy.
You know, but that's, so like... That's like the foil for them to go to the Oasis.
Yeah. How dare they? How dare they kill Momo?
All they had to do was kill Momo because of the forest.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
They killed Momo and then they killed the Moon Spirit.
Yeah. Momo had to go first, though.
Fuck you, dude. Momo, I'll do you 10-fold. Tenfold. Once their rocks fall.
It's fine. Any notes for the end? That's it. You can do broader notes at the end here. I thought it'd be fine. It was okay.
Yeah, I think it was okay. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like the animated series had like such like a bravado to it.
While,
like,
This
this didn't feel so much in a way.
Yeah,
whatever that means.
I all right. Broader notes.
All right. Broader notes. Mask, best episode.
Yep.
Two. I really want to rewatch the animated series.
Yeah.
Just get those little details. The three. I didn't say I hated it. I won't say I hate it, but it's kind of like I wish it was better.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm just really upset about what they chose to cut and what they chose to add. Like sure, there are some episodes you can cut. I get it. Like Great Divide, you don't really need. I guess you don't really need like the fortune teller. Maybe you can wrap that up later.
I think the line time limit and time constraints. Yeah, I think they have to like just they basically got less than 8 hours. There's only so much story you could fit in.
They cut out Haru. You didn't even see Haru in this at all. Which is a lead up to like Boiling Rock. Like there's all these like threads that the first season of the animated series like has.
Yeah, it's like kind of like the setups, right?
Yeah, that pays off later. And they're like, what do we need these lead ups for? Fuck it. You don't need them. Just don't use them. And it's like, oh, okay, I guess.
I feel like the spirit world, they didn't execute any part of the spirit world at all that powerfully.
Yeah.
Other than the avatars. I feel like that's also a layup too, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Avatar, the series, is kind of like all about not just the human side of things, but how we relate to our environment.
Right.
And do that through like the animals, like the badger molds and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But like here, it's only literally about like, you know, the people. Like, that's okay, but I feel like it has more of a breath.
Mm.
In the regular Avatar series.
Yeah. It's, I don't like what, I don't agree with what they decided to cut and what they decided to amend. I think a lot of the pacing is kind of a mess. I don't like how they've, I think the people they did the most dirty is Sokka and Aang. Like, Aang is not funny anymore. It's too serious. I don't know why they wrote him like that. It's kind of a buzzkill. And there's no levity in the show anymore. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know why take that away from this, right? Like,
yeah.
To me, that's part of what made this good, rather than comparing this to like a Western made fantasy thing, right? Fantasy series where like you don't have to, you can have sincerity and you can still have comedy. Like you can have both. Just because it's funny doesn't mean that people won't take it seriously. I don't know why they had to cut it out.
I think like also that thing of like, you know, how like episode one is like everything was kind of explicitly said.
Uh-huh.
While in the series, there's a lot more space to where, you know, Avatar Aang can kind of like have that battle between the odds and himself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the responsibility he has versus like who he wants to be like as a kid, and then like all the life lessons he's supposed to learn along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But in here, you know, he's got three avatars telling you we gotta go out alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like his friends are like, we could do it together, eh?
Yeah.
And it's like, he doesn't really have those battles, or it's like it's not without being interrupted by someone giving them the answers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we could do it together, Aang. That's the past. This is the now or future or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like they get Zuko's avatar notebook and throw it in the trash.
Yeah.
You know. What are you going to do when you have 8 hours?
Look, man, the first season had 20 episodes, 20 minutes each, divided by three. That would have been less than 8 hours. The first season is less than 8 hours. Whatever. Anyway.
Dang, wild.
They didn't hire me to direct this. And granted, could I have directed it better? I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is I would have made different choices.
Wild.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. How would you feel about a second season that is being made?
I mean, I don't want to say that I will watch it because that seems like a promise. But I'm
saying that we on this podcast are promising more coverage.
No, I guess. Because I don't know. The thing is always when I'm watching a remake or playing a remake, you really want to so badly compare it to the source material, which you are going to do eventually. But, you know, I'm at the mind of why can't I just read the source material? Why can't I just, you know, access the source material? But I will watch it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I want it to be better. I was just saying. I want them to do the cool moments that they would do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm scared how Toph's gonna be.
Oh, boy. Oh,
like,
that's buddy.
My biggest fear, because I really like Toph and what she stands for.
Yeah.
If they make, are they gonna do the thing where, she comes from
aristocratic family?
Aristocratic family, and they kidnap her. Is he gonna be a jerk?
Which he should be.
Yeah, he should be. Is he gonna be reluctant to teach Aang, but then eventually just realizes he has to teach Aang?
Mm-hmm.
Also, in season two, Avatar Day, they'll probably cut.
No, Avatar Day's so good. It's a good episode. Avatar Days when you get that funny scene where Aang goes to prison and talks to those guys.
Yeah, talks to the guys.
It's a good gag. Yeah.
Is it also worth going to the desert at the library? Being that whole arc?
Yes, because it's when you lose Appa.
Yeah, he loses Appa, finds out of a Sultan's Hamlet and everything. But the big part is it's losing Appa. And then you just see him go hog wild.
Yeah. No, it's good. Because it's one of the first times you see Aang, unapologetically, be mad.
Mm-hmm.
All other stuff happens to him. People die. People get hurt. And he's, he keeps it together. He's not happy about it. But, when Appa loses, he's pissed. And I think that's the only time in the whole series where he's mad.
Yeah, I think so too.
They can't cut it.
But do you think they'll do it justice?
Oh my god, they're gonna cut it. Oh my god, they're gonna cut it. Oh my god.
No. I feel like it's a point in development though. Because I
hope they learn their lesson.
Because the big things I remember for Earth season two is going to Omashu.
Yep, the return to Omashu.
And then they need to find Toph somehow. And then they go to the desert and library.
You need to go to the swamp. That's where you see Toph. Remember they go to the swamp. Remember the swamp thing with the swamp?
Yeah, the swamp. And then they see the fighting arena.
He goes to the tree. And the tree has a vision of Toph as a weird spirit, like laughing at Aang and running through a forest.
Yeah,
and that's when they coincidentally end up in the arena, he recognizes her. And that's the lead up to, like, it's her, that she will be my bending master. That's the lead up. So, like, in my eyes, maybe the swamp doesn't need to be a full episode, but the swamp serves a purpose. It is also
the swamp benders.
Swamp sees swamp. Sokka sees Yue, and Katara sees her mom, and it's an important kind of growing thing. And it's also
They're gonna cut it.
Also, Zuko is the blue spirit again, because he's as a what's it called? It's a fugitive. Like he's a fugitive.
Yeah, he's basically a fugitive.
Yeah, that's important. Again, Blind Bandit. You get Zuko alone, which is a very good episode. Probably one of the highlights of season two. The library is important. Serpent's Pass? Sure. I mean, it's the build up to Tales of Ba Sing Se. And then all of Ba Sing Se is really, really important. Fucking big hitters. If you don't do that right, holy shit.
Why bother?
If they cut Tales of Ba Sing Se, because it is, I mean, what is it? What's the word I'm looking for? Objectively, Tales of Ba Sing Se is sort of a filler episode.
Yeah.
But it is, what a fan favorite. And to just add so much character to a lot of to like everyone, yeah, and I would be very hard pressed. I would be very upset if they decide to cut Tales of Ba Sing Se. Yeah,
especially there's a lot of big hitters. Tales of Ba Sing Se,
big hitters.
Least from the Vine.
Yeah,
that's the one that I remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot to do.
I will watch. I will be upset, most likely.
But I'll watch for the mug tent, I guess.
Yeah. We must.
You will get at least two more live action pods.
I really hope they take notes of, both response and what worked, what didn't work, how to better feel it out. Again, yeah, you're sort of right that should they make a shot-for-shot remake? No. But, whoever's writing Iroh and Zuko is doing a great job. And yeah. I think that's a great strength for the writing team.
I think you can harness that.
Yeah.
For the intimate moments.
Yeah.
And I think second season, at least from the Earth Source material, there's a lot of opportunity for more intimate moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they harness that power, I think it'd be good.
Yeah.
That's my dream. That's my desire.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us on this adventure of Avatar: The Last Airbender. Any last closing thoughts?
I think you kind of said the first thing. Kind of the thing is, like, I don't want to come out as a hater.
Yeah.
But it's like when you see something so beloved, and they've tried to do this before and it didn't go super well. But it's...
They gave him 1 hour, 30 minutes.
There's a lot of... Especially when you hear, stories about, production teams kind of really hold back writing groups.
Yeah.
You hear that stuff with, The Witcher 2. Like, there are some writers out there that do not respect source material. And, when you're doing something as beloved as this, you really have to. Or else it kind of just leaves a bad taste in everyone's mouth. I'm seeing here by just doing some double checks here. Like, the good episodes, at least the way, like starting at Masks, like that's actually written sort of by like the original duo, like Michael Dante and Brian Cazzetto.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they still got the juice, so maybe their Avatar Studios film will hopefully be good. But yeah, no, I mean, like, I hope they do better. I want them to do good. I don't want it to be bad.
I feel like the casting's good.
Yeah.
The actors doing a really good job.
Yeah. They're doing their best out there.
For what they have, like the set design and like everything is pretty
good. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to see them do better.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all I got.
It's basically my stuff's the same thing. I just want to do better. I like Avatar. Yeah. I even like Korra.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, do you want to rewatch Korra instead? Avatar's cool.
I watched Korra more recently than I did watch the original series. So, well, maybe. Yeah.
Korra cast.
Yeah. But yeah, I appreciate you taking the time to watch this with me. I know you were not looking forward to it, but I felt that we were honor bound to do so.
I was honor bound to do so for, for our rotating chair partner.
Yeah. And,
To be fair, most of the topics were my choosing anyway, so.
Yeah.
You get one.
I get one for every five you get.
Exactly. Anyways. Thanks for hanging out.
Of course.
Thanks for listening to this podcast, dear viewers, dear listeners. I love you personally.
Oh, thank
you. Yes. But not in a
platonic way.
I was reading our titles, not in a paranormalist way. That's all right. That's the word. Yeah. Or I'm in love with something, and then they're never gonna be back.
Yeah, a parasocial relationship.
Parasocial, not in a parasocial.
Way. Oh, I see.
Thanks for hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to our March/April episode, and then we'll talk about something next month.
Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure.
Been a pleasure.
Take care.
Where can they find you?
I am still on Twitter, unfortunately. Free me from this hellscape.
No, that's the only place you could be in this hellscape.
It's true.
And when the hellscape's gone, you're going to feel empty.
Yeah. No, I'll move to... Well, maybe I'll actually hang out on co-host. Who knows? But yeah, you can find me on Twitter as SummerKurtz. Do I write? I don't write anymore. But yeah, I'm mostly on there.
You like to think he writes.
Yeah.
I like to think he writes.
There's a lot of rough drafts sitting on this notepad that I have yet to finish. Anyway. That's mostly it. Follow me wherever, I don't care or not. I'm spending my time doing other stuff. Where can they find you, Mog?
You can find me at mognut.com on the Twitter. Mm-hmm. I stream sometimes twitch.com/mognight11.
Anything to look forward to in your streaming schedule?
I'll probably put this episode out tomorrow, but it is currently my quote-unquote spring break.
Ooh.
Which I will see if I could stream between April 1st to April 5th at 7 p.m. PST with many different things. And you can find like a vague bucket list of things I want to do, including getting Korra in Fortnite. And shout out to Colossus and maybe some
saxophone. Let's go shout out to Colossus, greatest game ever made.
And we'll see about that.
Wow.
Get him.
You being a contrarian for a fucking 20-year-old game is really funny.
Anyway. After I reach out to Colossus, I'm going into Ico.
Hell yeah, buddy, let's go.
Isn't there a third game that holds
you? Yeah, The Last Guardian. Which is middle.
Oh, that's right. The modern one.
Yeah.
More fast, quote unquote.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to get coffee fit. I need to go.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.
Fun. Take care. Stay hydrated.